You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey everybody, it's Chad of the Wild.
Gaiden.
In this season, we are playing through Oceanhorn 2, Knights of the Lost Realm. In our last episode, we fought a big old firebird. We put our first emblem where it was supposed to go. We put it back. Peace has been obtained in this region. We're going to be causing havoc in the next one. We're going to go to a peaceful area.
Again.
We're going to cause problems.
Oh yeah, that's right. Problems were already existing where we were just now.
There's some questionable diplomatic choices in this game. Let me just say that outright.
It's fun that the people that accompany us to these areas are called ambassadors. It seems like they haven't been in contact with their hometown in a decade.
No. We had this before when we went to the Oru village, where Trin is the princess of the White City. Like, she is the princess of the humans as we know it. Although, yeah, like, when you look at everything, we are on this small island surrounded by ocean. Who knows what the other worlds are or anything like that. Same kind of thing you run into with, like, Zelda games, though, where, like, how big is Hylia in comparison to the rest of the world? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the rest of, like, what is beyond those mountains, all that stuff? But
you mean the giant ice wall that surrounds this flat Earth in this universe, in this game?
Right, right. And, you know, we're stuck under this dome.
Yeah,
and it's keeping us from heaven. And but anyway, we talked to Trin about this stuff, and she's just clueless to any other area. Like, she doesn't know anything about this stuff. And I will give it to them, like, the distance between these towns feel a lot further than, say, a Zelda game, where, you know, you could walk from one town to another in like 2 minutes. Here, if you're gonna walk, it's gonna take you like 10.
Did you walk back to town?
I did walk back to town. But Jeremy, to your point, I will say Trin's entire purpose is, like, her entire job is flying an airship around for reconnaissance. She should probably know a little bit about,
yes,
neighboring,
yep,
you know,
yeah,
allied forces, I guess.
Well, it seems like we haven't talked to, like, even no one has talked to anyone since the war ended.
Right. And, you know, our town that we grew up in was just as far away from the White City as the Oru town is away from the White City.
Yeah, we took a big train there.
But we have a connection with them in a way that's like, it has to be a thing where we were not allowed to go to see the Oru. Like, they sort of cut us off, or something had to happen like that. But that doesn't explain how clueless she is for the Gilfolk either. But anyway, when we wrapped up, we helped them out. Everything was fine. They open up this gate that then takes us into this giant field. Now, I referred to this as the overworld, because it felt like that what it would be in any kind of, like, RPG game. You're brought into this giant field that really you're just trying to get to the next town, and it takes forever to walk across this. The whole time I was like, where'd that bike go? Where did the little air bike thing that we had before, where did that go?
Right, right.
Yeah, to call back to last episode, Jeremy, you made the point that, you know, still, like, the world is big. I do appreciate the, you know, the sprawling maps that you can walk back and there's, like, a world out there, but there's also nothing to do in this area. There's a few things, and you can tell that you're about to get an airship because there are giant landing pads that you walk, mm-hmm, around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do appreciate that there's a mini, not even dungeon, there's just an optional boss fight, so another bounty, which
we haven't talked much about these until the first, like I brought up in the first episode. I've done four now. I believe there are six. So I've got four of the six done. BC, how many have you done of these so far?
This is my first one.
Oh, first and only so far.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Which one was that?
It was the giant,
the mosquito
off Octorok.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That one.
Oh, so these are all just giant versions of, right.
Yes. And they have some funny stories with them. So, like, I fought a giant, the giant octopus, Octorok thing. I fought a giant scarab,
yeah.
Or whatever. I fought a giant mosquito thing. And I've also fought a giant centipede. Yeah, the Ithaca. And I fought a giant centipede.
I'm terrified of that. I do not want to see that.
It was kind of cool, but also, like, boring. Because,
yeah,
I'll just tell you. So it's Queen Long is the name of it. And you go down into this underground thing, and it's just a series of tunnels. And it just, like, goes around. And you still just hit it on its back, like, the last little segment, like you do everything else. But I actually went through the whole thing without getting hit once because it moves slow enough that I can just be like, okay, I'm just going to move to the right and it's just going to run right past me. It doesn't do a good job of like turning on a dime or anything. So I was able to avoid it. It just took a long time.
See, even last episode, BC said like, oh, it didn't even notice me. The little centipede didn't even notice me. And I was like, no, the one that I fought killed me and my friends multiple times because... it chased me down.
So here's another thing that I think is weird. Whenever you fight these bosses, it's only ever you. You're always by yourself. They don't go in. Your teammates don't go in with you.
That'll kind of happen in a story beat in this episode. But yeah.
But when you fight these things, they have different patterns too. They don't fight the same way as the other ones. They're not just big versions of them. Their patterns are different. And then they also summon a bunch of little ones around you. Although the Queen Long one didn't do that.
Okay.
But yeah, BC, I mean, do you want to talk about the boss battle?
So this was, I think, Prince Kissinger or something to that effect.
Something like that.
Really?
Yeah. And you go in.
I have seen that name before.
Yeah, you've probably seen the bounty poster for him. Mm-hmm. But you go in, and it's like a little shrine, and you go down, and there's a guy there who's basically, like, dying. And he's like, hey, I tried to collect the bounty, but it was too much, or the fight was too much for me. And that guy disappears later, so I assume he dies. Or maybe he walks out fine. But
he might have gone to the evil jar with everything else.
Yeah. And before you fight him, there's a little note that says he's basically like, yeah, I've been luring people down here with promises of treasure and like basically luring adventurers down there, killing them and then taking their treasure. And he's like, I make so much money even after the boss gets his cut, which means there's some boss of all these random bounties. And then it was basically just a big... I forget the name of them, what they're called, but they're this game's version of Octoroks. And he just
the
shoots
Tetra odds.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Tetra.
Such an odd name.
Tetra odds or Tetra oods. Or
the way that
are we starting the pronunciation talk of this episode?
Oh,
right now?
God, yeah, that's right.
We'll get to
now
that
the way
later.
The Trin says it, like, "Come here, Tetra odd." I'm like, all right, that's what that is. I think tetrapod would work, but no, okay.
Yeah, so it's just a giant tetrapod that shoots bombs, and he can destroy you pretty quickly, except all the smaller tetrapods shoot pots that drop hearts and ammo. So
yeah,
yep.
It's just a really long battle of running around, shooting them in the face. I switched up my gems, so all my damage gems were on my gun, and yeah. It's pretty straightforward.
So what I did is I took this time to find a bunch of the daggers.
Okay.
And the problem is that if you go back to town where that map is that shows you where all the daggers are,
Yeah.
You go and look in the, there is a book near it. And if you go and read that book, then the map will put X's all over where those are. I was doing cross references with a screenshot on my phone, thinking that it was going to be like a big secret thing. To be like, I will go and find all this stuff, because they do not show up. They don't light. There's no flicker on the ground or anything. It's only when you get up to it, it will say like examine, and you'll pull a dagger up. So I found like 10 of the 19 that way. And I probably spent an hour and a half just walking up and down this stuff, finding all that. I mean, there's some interesting things to look at. I still don't understand its purpose. There is this, this like lighthouse looking thing that you go into, that when you get in there, there's just like, it shows our planets and stuff like that. And it's got like this cool vibe to it. It reminded me of the, planetarium that was in the, Majora's Mask. When you walk in there, 'cause it had like they had some like purplish color going to it and all that. And I was like, I dig this vibe. I don't know why this is here.
So it's here.
Aliens.
If I may segue into what I said, I think two episodes ago, this game is going to get over its head trying to talk about like aliens.
I hope so.
And we are there.
A flat Earth game.
We've made it to the point where we're talking about aliens. So one, they bring up that the beacons have been there since before anybody knows. Somebody built the beacons with super advanced technology, and they're not around anymore. This observatory, if you read the notes, basically there's this big object in the sky, or a big object out in space called the Lunar Tier, that's the size of the mm-hmm. White City, that this guy's entire job is to track the Lunar Tier and see what it does. And as soon as we put something, we return the emblem to the beacon, then the Lunar Tier reacts. And then also, randomly in this area, there's a crashed spaceship with robots?
Yeah, so there's a couple. You can actually find more than one. But yes, there is a crashed spaceship, and when you get up to it, there is a new kind of creature that we haven't seen before. That's a robotic creature that we fight.
Which
is what all the landing pads are?
No, those
are for spaceships to land.
Nope. Those are for our airships.
Okay.
We will get later. Jumping ahead a little bit there with that.
A little bit.
It's
in the thing about this, and I'll leave it alone after this. The thing about it that got me was when you walk up on one of these crashed spaceships, Trin says, "Is that a spaceship?"
Mm-hmm.
Which implies either one, they have spaceships, or two, they know something about space that they're not telling everybody else.
Well, yeah.
You're giving Archimedes them a lot of credit, BC.
Grandpa's Archimedes. He probably at one point was like, "I'm not going to tell you anything. Don't ask about the spaceships." And she was like, "Spaceships?" And he was like, "Damn.
I said don't ask." There's also I came across this a couple times. There is another version of the, what are they called? The Beatles.
Oh, yeah, the Scarabaeus.
The Scarabaeus. But this is called a Scaronyx.
Yeah, the silver one.
And it's got like a bluish silver color to it. But then also, its attack is just like a weird attack that it just does at a set interval, that as long as you're not near it, it won't do anything to you. And it takes a lot more hits. It does give you more XP, but that's it. And I don't understand, like, maybe we're going to get... There may be a challenge to kill, like, five of them over time or something like that. It's weird.
The one I found was next to a bunch of eggs, and I don't know what the deal was with the eggs.
Yeah. I found two or three so far, and they've all been around eggs. I don't know.
Just in case, beware the snoring dog on my audio. She's passed out.
Some other things that I came across here is there is a graveyard that you can find, but it's like there's a thing that's blocked off. There's also a winter biome that I went to.
Oh.
But again, still there was a closed door. And it's strange, like, going through a lot of this stuff, because I'm just like, are we going to get more optional things? It's just, I have this idea in my head of where this game is going, how long we have to go. And then I find some things that just break that line of thought where I'm like, okay, well, I guess there's probably going to be more than that, because I even went back to one of the old islands that we could go to at the very beginning of the game, but we couldn't do anything there.
Mm-hmm.
And found a thing that was like a sunken temple down there. And I'm like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
Like there's other things in this game where I'm like, okay, maybe there's more to this. Although right now I'm sitting at 70% completion, but that is with all of the collectibles too. So you have to factor that in where my percentage might be considerably higher, considering it depends on how much weight they put onto their collectibles for the percentage.
Yeah, Jeremy, I would say I'm at 38%, maybe 40% completion. So,
yeah.
That is 100% like everything, not just story, I assume.
Right. You know, for sure. Yeah. Because I at this point, I do have all of the daggers, and I will tell you what you get for collecting all the daggers is 150 gold and a big shard. Now, the shard is effective. Like, my sword is actually like max damage and like half whatever now, and I'm like, that's cool. Yeah, that is, I have a very strong sword now, but I was like, I was hoping for a whole lot more money than just 150. Like, they made it sound like they were gonna give me a whole poop ton of money.
Yeah,
and I not get that.
They told, when they were like, we'll pay you, I was like, well, then I'm not doing that, because I do not trust them to like take their economy seriously.
Yeah, I did eventually get the 3,000 gold that I needed to buy that shard that I was talking about, and it's a good shard.
Okay.
Like, again, it's a good one if you want to get the more powerful things.
I'm willing to find more shards and stuff. We don't get enough of them, I don't think.
I've got shards on every weapon now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything. I do too, but we started out with a lot of low-level shards, and I've only found like a couple of mid-tier ones. And I'm like, come on, game, you need to start like doling these out a little bit more. We're starting to get into like towards the end game now, so.
I don't think we are. I don't think we are, Brian.
Yeah, I think there's some weird stuff yet to happen.
Mm-hmm. No. I mean, I think after this, if you're at 70% and you have all that stuff, yeah, I think that sounds about right.
Brian,
I had said to myself a while back that my guess was after this episode was my prediction for when I was going to want to go out and look for more stuff. Because I was like, I could easily take my little tugboat and go around and look for stuff, but I don't think I have the equipment to really find stuff without going back again and doing it again after I get another thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking like, after this episode, I will probably have enough things to make it worth my while. So we'll see.
I'm going to say one more episode after this.
Before
you're going to have that. Like, we're going to finish
daggers
this
and stuff. Then,
yeah, I got all the daggers. But again, the daggers are all out in the big overworld area.
Okay.
You don't actually need, with access to that, you can get everything. You can get all those. You don't need to use a claw shot or the item that we're going to get later on in this episode. You don't need those things. You can get all the daggers if you want, and it's going to be easier if you go back to the knight's area and get the markings on your own map as opposed to what I was doing.
Right.
So heavily suggest that you go and do that. And it's 19 of them. It's not really that bad in my opinion. And I think getting that big shard and getting just some money, it's like, okay, cool, do that, because if you can possibly go and buy some more stuff later that'll be helpful, I think it's worth doing. Because like you said, you don't, the economy's weird where we don't get enough coins, in my opinion. Enemies drop one coin most of the time. Like 90% of the time, it's one coin.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, I think I've seen a 5-piece, or maybe it was even like a 3. Who knows?
Have you? Oh, I've only found pennies, so.
Yeah, it's bad the way that they give you money in this.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately they don't have enough stuff to buy. So it kind of balances out there, there is like one or two things where I'm just like, you want to buy this cause it's powerful. but it's cost a lot. So we get back to town We immediately get stopped by a soldier when we get there. And they basically say, like, Trin needs to come with me. Grandpa needs her for something. And she's like, all right, I'll see you guys later. You can then adventure around without Trin if you wanted. She didn't do a whole lot for you, so it doesn't really change a lot, in my opinion.
Yeah, after I explored the overworld, I just went straight to progress the story.
Mm-hmm.
If we go and go to like the main tower or whatever, we then get a cut scene with Trin and Archimedes, and it's basically just this long, it felt long, but it was actually not that long, but it was so slowly paced.
Yes.
Where we see these three vehicles come out from the ground, and then that's it. Like, that's the scene. They don't say anything.
But... Well, we know it's Oceanhorn. If you played
Oceanhorn. We know it's Sealock. And Sealock.
Yeah, so we know that these are the... that these are the three, like, beasts of this world. The machine beasts. Being
Archimedes
Oceanhorn.
Has clearly just created them to help with the fight that's coming.
But we also, the scene does end with Trin looking at her flute. The flute that I forgot about in Oceanhorn 1.
Yep. That's right.
And forgot about it. It wasn't a very important thing, honestly. Like, story-wise, it was important. But you literally could only use it for one thing in that game. And you got it, like, at a point and it didn't make it clear.
You got it from your dad right at the end there.
Yeah. But she has the flute now. And we go and say, like, we go and talk to our two dads, and they basically say, let's go to sleep. Let's go. We're going to go back to the hotel. We're tired. And old dad says something like, you're young. You can still explore, I'm sure. So go and do some exploring and find all the collectibles, the 100% this game.
Because we got to town, and we go to bed, basically. And then, I don't know. I went to sleep twice here. I was like, okay, game.
I think what it is we wake up, we're told to go see what Trin's doing. We see that, and then we're supposed to be like, that took the whole day. Let's go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next thing that they tell us to do after we do all that is to go see Trin, and old dad is waiting over at the airport for us. Before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to see what's waiting for us at the airport. I'll let you guess.
Air.
A Mazda Miata.
Hey, Chris, what's the War Rocket Ajax podcast about?
Well, Matt, if we were smart, it'd be about murders, but it's actually about comics.
War Rocket Ajax. It's not about murders, but it is weekly on the Greenlit Podcast Network.
On the Super Nintendad's Entertainment Podcast, catch us grumbling about the news every Monday on the Morning Dadcast, chatting with industry professionals, and most importantly, teaching our kids just how incredible or horrible 80s and 90s video game and pop culture truly was.
All right, what else you got?
A Sega Slingshot.
Don't have a cow, man.
The blast processing was really fast. Why did Knuckles fly even?
Thai prawn dough.
What does that even mean?
Samurai pizza cats. Gabe, we almost named you Guido Anchovy.
Doing a Belvedere
requires a set of low hangers.
I'm gonna die!
Right here on Greenlit.
So, we go to the airport, as we are told. Trin is there waiting for us, and she explains to us, like, in order for us to go to Submera, Submaria.
Sure.
Yes. Right. In order for us to go to Submaria, we have to go through air. And so this is where we are going to use her ship, which was it
Yellow
called?
Bird.
She called it Yellow Bird, but it's red.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely named
some
Yellow
reason.
Something. So it is a red ship.
It is called Yellow Bird. Yes.
Yeah. And she talks about, like, controlling. So I don't understand that. Is this, so we saw this whole thing, and then Trin talks a little bit about how she pilots Oceanhorn. And she describes how, like, piloting Oceanhorn is weird because it feels like it predicts your movements mm-hmm. before you do them. Where it's like an extension
it's like
of your
own
mind.
Like Anakin in the pod race. He knows what's about to happen before...
Exactly.
Before Sebulba throws a wrench at him or something.
Now this is Oceanhorning. But she describes these things about Oceanhorn, but then we don't go into Oceanhorn. We go into some weird little jet. I don't understand why we needed to see that scene when we saw it, if we're not going to go into there. It just like it felt like out of place.
Well, it's showing that the Oceanhorn's finally finished. Like, this is the second Oceanhorn teaser we've seen.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure at the, you know, maybe there was a part, this is my guess, at the end when the Oceanhorn stuff actually comes up and matters, they're like, well, we can't just like just bring up Oceanhorn now. We have to tease it earlier. Also, they wanted us to take another nap.
Yeah, you're not awake enough for this. Go take a nap. So this is where we now get access to flying around. We've done. So we started off with little boats, and then we got an air bike, and now we're on a plane. And I feel like none of them are to the point where I'm like, I have a preference on it. Like, I reluctantly will use any of those because they all move in a way that I'm just like, I don't like controlling these things. They all move too slow, it feels like. Even the jet feels like it moves way too slow. And turning it is so strange because you can't turn. You just have the left stick just does up and down for your throttle. But then if you want to turn left and right, you do that with the right stick.
There's no altitude.
It's weird.
And in the last episode, we had the Indiana Jones guy's journal who we didn't mention this. He blows himself up with his dynamite, so that was fun. While he was trying to get the grappling hook, but we get the boulder from Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then we kind of have like these they looked like minecart tracks that were above us. I was like, okay, well, there's Temple of Doom. Now if we just get a Zeppelin as a flying machine, which is feasibly within the context of this world, we get all three movies, and then all we got to do is drop a nuke on something.
We jump in the refrigerator, and then...
Well, I mean, well, we have the little vending machine, so that could work too.
So we accompany Princess Finn to Submeria, and I don't like the way she looks. I don't like the way the Gil folk look in general.
They redesigned
in this game.
Them from the first game.
Yes, they have just more of a human face mm-hmm. to them this time around. And Princess Finn's look, like, she has, like, she is red, but her she looks like, honestly, like Hellraiser ripped her skin off or something. Like, she looks like a muscly mm-hmm. body, like, without human flesh. And it's
disturbing. We run into another one when we get to their town, and... they've got their back to us, and I'm like, that's Frieza. That's totally Frieza. They're white with purple fin accents or gills or whatever. And I'm like, oh, hi, Frieza. How you doing?
But of course, Trin also brings up how she's never been to Submeria, and she's heard it's a paradise.
Well, I think she was talking about, so I thought, and they did this in the first game too, where they're like, actually, we have a underwater town that no one's allowed to see but us, and they talk about it a lot. And I thought that's what she was talking about. She's like, yeah, I've heard about the bottom of the ocean town before, but I've never seen that. And
no, she kept talking about the beaches.
It was the beaches? Okay.
Yeah. The reason in Oceanhorn 1 they have the underwater town that nobody can go to is because of Oceanhorn.
Yes, yeah.
No, like, as far as we know, the Gil folk are peaceful. They're friendly with us. Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason that she doesn't know anything about this area.
Yeah.
Given her age, given her nobility, given like whatever, like she is supposed to have, we are led to believe that the humans run everything here, right? Like they get the final say on everything in a sense, but whether that's through, I mean, that's probably through like, you know, arms power, right? Like, more than anything else, it's more of just like they've got the weapons that
we've got
the other towns won't question.
Or as one of the people in this town says, Archimedes.
Is that? Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I have not paid that close attention to this stuff.
This is jumping ahead a little bit, but my big thing was there's a conversation that happens, and this is all in one conversation where you get
back to back three, to back to back.
Yeah, you get back to back to back different pronunciations of
four different words
that are central to the story. So, like, what's the name? What do they call the beacon? What do the Gil folk call
Utheca,
the beacon?
Uthica. Or Othurka.
So at first it was really awkward because like the Princess Finn, you know, says, "Oh, we call it like Utheca," and immediately after that, Trin mispronounces it as like, "Yeah, so we're going to Utheca," and I was like, "Oh, a little tone deaf there, Trin." But then shortly after that, there's a conversation where you have like three different pronunciations of Utheca going on, and then they mention this giant turtle monster, and you literally, every person who references this monster in the conversation calls it something significantly different.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the name for that monster.
It's like Yarmulla or something like that.
The whole time I'm doing this, I'm just sitting there railing against... Like, who wasn't someone? Someone had to have been in charge of this. Yarmala, Yarmalia. Like everyone gives it a different pronunciation. Yarmula.
See, I guess I was not paying close enough attention. I would have forgiven it in a way to be like, if the all of the Gil folk pronounced it one way, and then Trin says it a different way because she's a spoiled brat.
Right.
And it's just like that she's just an ignorant brat. That's
right.
All that would be part of her character.
That would be fine. But no, all of the Gil folk actors pronounce it. Yeah, see, look, I'm even doing it now too. They pronounce it differently.
We all do it differently, Brian.
We all say terms that we all accepted differently.
We all do it differently.
So let's go. Well, let's rewind back. Okay, so we get to here, and the whole point of us flying was that we could land on top of Utheca, their beacon, to just deliver the emblem.
Yes.
And that's all we needed to do, because Princess Finn was just like, no, we're cool. Everything will be fine. It's just going to be a straight shot. Since I left town, like, everything was fine. It's all set up for us. We get there. It doesn't work. Stuff's broken. So that is where we need to then go to the grotto, and that's where it just sort of like opens
lagoon.
Up. Now
they say lagoon, yeah, like where you can from there you talk to Grandpa Robot or someone to be like, hey, we can't do anything here, and they're like, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to the world map or do you want to go to the lagoon?
And I was talking about the Gilfolk Grotto.
Oh, okay,
specifically.
Well, it would be nice if they dropped you at the front door. Yes, they don't though. They drop you off, like...
Where the landing pad is.
On the... Okay, fine, I guess. Yeah.
You can only land on a landing pad.
Yeah, all right.
This opens up this big area here. Again, just not enough to do in here. We basically slowly make our way through getting stopped by, like, the same kind of enemies all the way through that we've been dealing with. Like, we don't even get different varieties of them because of the region or anything like that.
Yeah.
But we go all the way up through this area to get to the Gilfolk Grotto. And, when we get in there, we get a lot of talk here. This is where suddenly we are now creating the conflict, because in order to do that, it's clear, like, something is screwing it up. And did Princess Finn, did this happen while she was like away that she wasn't aware of?
Yes.
It's after, okay. Yeah, because so, she would have left with the emblem, and because the emblem is gone, they are now left open to attack from Yarmula, the giant turtle demon, or something.
No, that's not it at all.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yarmula came, like, she knew that Yarmala or whatever existed. The thing is, they shut off the power to the emblem because they just trapped Yarmala in there, so he would stop coming back. They tricked him in there, and they trapped him, and then that's why the beacon doesn't have power.
So
now we have an issue where in order for us to put the beacon back, we have to let down the security on this stuff here. Mm-hmm. And there is now a division in this territory between the Gilfolk people where we're suddenly shown a different faction of Gilfolk where they're just sort of like, no, you can't do that. In fact, all of my men are going to stop you from doing that.
Yeah, he runs up. Like, out of nowhere, this dude, Steel Scale. Like, he's not part of this conversation. He wasn't in the group of people that are standing around talking about this. He just kind of pops up and is like, no, you can't.
So that we are told now, we're just like, all right, you can try, but we're going to stop you the whole way. So now if you go back out there, now you have Gilfolk hunters that are going to be stopping you and trying to fight you. I wanted to mention, I like the Gilfolk grotto because of their houses. Their houses are little conch shells that you just like. It's just so different, right? Like they could have just done a house with coral on it or something like that. But it is just a completely different design where you go in through the little spiral for everything on there. And yeah. I was just like, I just like that. That's just like a cool design to put, to toss into there.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't get some sort of... line from Trin who's just like, wow, these are really thematically appropriate, like we did in the last one where it's like, yeah, it's their town, it's their home, of course it's thematically appropriate.
So what we need to do right now is we need to go and find the three Thunderstones and we need to destroy them in order to let down the security at Uthica so that we can get into there and do what we need to do to power back on Uthica.
Yes. And the reason Steel Scale is so upset by this is because he's like, hey, a lot of people died to... Many Bothan spies died to set up this this Thunderstone jail cell to keep your Malia...
It's a fair point.
No. It's
a fair
right.
point.
He's right. He for him to be a little upset. I'm fine with that. I agree. I mean, we do say like, hey, look, we did just kill a giant fire creature bird thing at the last place. We could probably kill your turtle for you too. And he's like, that's still unacceptable. Like a lot of people lost their lives for this, and. And even the elders are like, well, he's probably a lot weaker than he used to be because of the Thunderstones. And we're like, okay, see there, that settles it. This should be fine. And he's still upset by it. Also, one other thing. There is a treasure chest in the middle of this little town. Just sitting there. And when you see it, Trin goes, ooh, look at that. It's a treasure chest. I wonder if there's like a heart piece. Or a such and such in there. And I'm like, no, Trin, there's not. We're going to go up there and it's going to be a wooden owl and I'm going to be mad. And it was like two wooden owls. It was like $50 instead. But like the game gets all excited to be like, and it's kind of my entire thought for this whole thought process for chests in this game, which is I no longer care about them. There's never anything good in them. Except for maybe a shard from time to time. And the game's like, ooh, look, there could be a shard in there. And I'm like, I bet you there's not.
There's never anything good enough.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, again, you get, like, I get that there is a problem with the balance of the economy on here.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that the treasure chests are worth nothing. But they're just not, they don't feel, you are not getting rewarded appropriately for the effort that they are putting you through in this.
But that is
the issue.
But for the game to go, hey, look, a thing, I bet there's something good in there, and then there's nothing...
Why would you listen to Trin?
There's nothing great
in there. Why would you listen to Trin?
You're right. I do not like Trin, so you're right. I shouldn't have cared.
Anyway, so right, we get up out in the open area, and we can go and take out these Thunderstones. I believe there is like a set order you need to do these things in.
Okay.
Because the first Thunderstone is really close to the grotto, but it's vertical. You gotta climb up this thing. Okay.
As you go through them. They lead you in a certain order.
But it's also really cool. You can look around in this big area and you can see these huge metal chains
mm-hmm.
that are all connected to the main thing, and those go to the Thunderstone.
Yeah.
So, like, it's actually, like, kind of cool that you can just, like, visually see it and know, like, where those are supposed to go without even having to look at your mini-map.
That is cool, yeah.
But we get to these Thunderstones, and then we have to fight these things, and this is just such a weird fight.
The framing is insane.
I wouldn't even these don't even know if it's apparently a fight sentient. Per se. It's like a weight.
Yeah. So this is okay. This is where your team is the most effective, in my opinion, because you can just not do anything except make sure you keep moving around so you don't get electrocuted.
Right.
And your squad will take care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way it works is that the giant Thunderstone will let out little Thunderstones, and then killing those little Thunderstones does damage to the big one. There's also a window that you can hit the big one. I was never clear on it.
Oh.
Because I saw Trin hit it a couple times to the point where it blinked red like it was getting hit. But I put bombs next to it, and it would take like a tiny sliver off, and I was like, I'm not even going to bother doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, no. I didn't even realize that.
My thought was...
You could just wait.
Yeah. Well, for two of them.
Yeah, two of the three you can, but...
Also, did anyone figure out how to open up the warp point?
Yeah.
Because you have to bomb it, and then it's like, oh, the ball is hidden somewhere, like, off-site away from it, and I never found the ball.
It says specifically, I hit it inside of a stone that was shaped like a skull.
Yeah, and I never saw that skull.
Yeah, it's, like, right behind you.
Oh, is it? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. They're never that far.
Well, I know now. So I was really bummed out because I was excited to go hang out in my favorite spot in the entire game, which is the ethereal other world.
The blue vastness or like the
mm-hmm. blue harvest.
So after we do the first one, then our ship flies by and drops off these floating anchors that we can then hook shot from one island to the other.
It just helps you get down.
It's just so weird. Because, you know, we have these, there's a lot of water in between these islands that you can't just get to. So you can use your ice. You can make an ice platform. But again, I've said before, you have no idea like exactly where that thing is going to go.
You're
going to get
work.
On there, and it's going to start moving in a direction. It will like circle around in a way, and it will get you closer to where you need to be,
mm-hmm.
but not in a straight shot.
I was able to do two pretty straight shots in this entire episode of like that's where it wanted me to go. It was like build. I figured it wanted me to make an ice boat.
Yeah, it even has the ice symbol nearby, and I had to like do somewhat of a detour because there was an island with a chest that I wanted to check out. But yeah, it took me more or less straight toward the temple of insight or whatever for the second.
Yeah, the temple of insight, and there's like a palace of courage in this section. The third time I had to go across the water, I thought it was closer than it was actually supposed to be. I wish I had made an ice boat instead. I guess we'll get there.
So we go into the second one, and in a lot of ways this just feels like its own dungeon, because we get into this tower and it's like there are back-to-back puzzle rooms, there are treasure chests, and then there's another mini boss with the Thunderstone mm-hmm. that we fight in there,
and just kind of make sure. You know, you don't even have to worry about your friends dying, because in a lot of times in some of these fights, if you sit back and let them do all the work, eventually they'll be like, oh, I am in dead and cannot fight no more sort of dialogue. And then you'll have to finish the fight. And in fact, that's what Trin says. She's like, finish the fight. I'm dead now. And I'm like, all right, Master Chief, chill out.
There is a moment that we go into one of these rooms, and I believe it's Jin that goes like, oh, let the boy figure it out. He loves puzzles.
Yeah.
It's like, that's so strange. Also, this is barely a puzzle, dude.
Yeah.
But we go through there, fight another one, come back out. We do get a special key in that process for it's a key to the wrecked ship. I actually went to that ship beforehand. Of course I did. Wasted my time. Mm-hmm. Went all the way over there. Found the green treasure chest that needed a key. But if we go and have the key and go to there. But again, this was like with the hookshot, where it is not explicit, where it's just like, go here to get a special thing that you're going to need. Like, you could go and make an ice platform that is going to take you to the next one if you're just, like, not really paying attention to, like, the markers or something mm-hmm. like that. And you just waste your time.
Yeah, I would say, unlike the... I don't think it marked the... I can't remember if it marked the grappling hook, but it did mark this.
It did. Okay. It did. Okay. But, like I said, if you knew, if you were, like, looking at where those chains were and all that stuff, because it even does, like, a camera shot of being like, here, remember that treasure chest? But there's times where I'm like, I don't know. Like, I've opened enough green. If green treasure chest meant big item,
that's it.
That would have been more impactful.
That's the other thing that had me upset in this episode is that I've enough in this game, and I finally realized it in this episode. I have opened plenty of green chests in this game and gotten 50 coins. And I'm like, the last game, green treasure chest meant big thing, good thing.
Not always, not always.
Except for that last one where they accidentally flipped it in the final dungeon in the sky in Oceanhorn 1, where like the chest accidentally got flipped and it was like, all right, well, whatever. You know, that's fine. But yeah, pretty for the most part, it was you could set your watch by it.
So we go to this green treasure chest. We get a brand new item, the diving helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Which this, you know, I had said before, I thought that there was going to be a way for us to pull things out of the water. Instead, I just didn't think we were going to be able to swim underneath the water.
There seemed to be enough things that if it wasn't we were going to swim under the water, there was enough of a tell that I figured there's going to be a way where we don't use our stamina up in the water. And that's what I was looking for, something like that. I didn't think it would actually let me dive under the water necessarily, but I would be able to sit in water without fear of dying in 5 seconds.
I think there's...
But yeah,
there's... I think it's maybe the guy in your hometown in Arn who's like... He's an adventurer, and his wife like mentions he's obsessed with this gillfolk relic that lets you breathe underwater.
Oh,
so I think
okay.
There's like a little nod to it at the beginning of the game.
Okay. I don't know. We have one more item slot. Do you guys have any idea?
No clue.
With okay,
I've been trying.
Like,
to
I was
think.
Gonna say if you've looked ahead, don't say it. You know, I don't want to necessarily spoil that. I've like I said, I still think there's gonna be something that lets us float, double jump.
Yeah, I would.
Fly,
I would
something.
Love a rocks cape. That would be great. Something that'll help us jump
again.
Up to something higher. What's that?
The trencher's boots again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fortunately, we already had those equipped when we started. So
kind of
have
the courage to jump already.
Was fortunate there. With the diving helmet, we can do two things now. We can swim without using any stamina, and we can dive underwater, and it goes into a first-person mode. You can still swing your sword and open chests with it.
That was weird.
And I'm going to guess they went first person because they just couldn't figure out a good animation for the character.
Or just swimming in 3D games is never, like, fun. And so if you do it in first person mode, you're basically just, you know, it's a lot easier that way.
Brian, you gave me a trigger warning beforehand about this, and it did definitely do that for, like, my deep, dark water phobia that I have.
Oh yeah, so
there was
so after this part I did find the other sunken ship. I saw it on my way past when I was surfing on the ice sheet, and I was like, we got to go down there at some point because someone talked about a thing being in a sunken ship. That didn't end up the thing ended up being on a beached ship, which was the helmet we got, but I still went over there to check the sunken ship. And then afterward, I didn't check my map, but the mini map made it seem like we needed to get back to the center. And so I was like, look, I'm just gonna not look at the TV for a while and hold straight and swim to the middle. And I got to the middle And then I looked at the map and realized that I needed to be on the complete other end of the map. And I was not happy about anything in my life at that point. It was, I don't feel good about that. I don't like it.
Is it because you saw the giant fish that's circling
around there?
That's
definitely one of those things. Yes, I saw Del Lago swimming around and I was like, I don't know when that's going to come up and get me. And, you know, anything could be down there. And one of our listeners, Tunde, has been writing music. He and another listener are like, Hylian Gamer 01 are like, I guess they're working on a game together and he's writing the music for it. And so he's been posting tracks in our Discord. And I was just, he's like, I got a new one up there. And I'm like, you know what? This is the perfect time for me to listen to a song and not pay attention to one of my greatest fears in my entire life. So yeah, that's how I spent this time as I swam across the whole map. Not happy with anything in my life.
And the thing is it's like, it's not, the fastest way to get across the water is to use the ice boat.
Yes.
But even then, you don't have control over it.
Right.
And it's just, it's weird. You would think like, I don't know, you gave me a new thing. Sure, make the diving slow, but make when I'm swimming on the surface fast. Like, balance it out in some way. Like, yeah, we don't have to worry about burning stamina anymore. It's mm-hmm. cool, but like, it still just takes so long.
Well, it's also stamina doesn't exist at all, so you can't run when you have the diving helmet equipped.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's weird.
And even though you get the diving helmet, basically there is a mostly land path to get around to the last Thunderstone. And one thing I wasn't considering, it's because I was taking the diving helmet off to run, is if you hit the water and you're out of stamina, like from running, when you hit the water, instant death.
Yep.
Yeah, it's weird. It's so weird.
Because it's something I would forget about in Oceanhorn 1, which same way, or Breath of the Wild, where if you've been running and you're running away from something and you just like, I'm about to get murdered, I need to just jump off this cliff, and you jump into a lake, and then you're like, oh no, I don't have any stamina food on me. Well, okay, bye. That's the end of my life.
Right. So, the last one that we have to go to before this, for the last Thunderstone, is the tower is underwater and it just broke in half and turned upside down, and you have to swim underneath there. Now, like, you know, I do have issues with just seeing that kind of like, you know, dark, deep water and everything. But as soon as I got into this tower, I was like, this is cool.
Yeah,
like, I actually really liked what they were doing with this, where even though on a technical level, they didn't nail it, like, they didn't hit the bullseye on it, because the whole thing is tilted. And I thought it was, like, really cool the way everything felt tilted and it was all, like, odd.
Except
but your character,
the character
is
models.
Still... Yeah, the character still stays level the whole time.
Even the enemies are like standing weird.
Yeah, and so
also your friends don't come in with you. Robot Grandpa and Trin do not come in here with you.
Right. So you're here by yourself. You do have to fight a couple. Well, we have to solve a couple puzzles, and then you do get to a point where then you have what's his name, Iron Scale.
Iron Scale.
Steel Scale.
Steel Scale, yeah.
Where
Iron
Steel
Talon,
Scale
Steel
shows
Scale.
Up. Yes. Steel Scale shows up and stops you. And he also has like four other Gil folk with him that are shooting at you. And he's just like, it ends here. You're not going to go any further. And I don't know. This battle was just so easy for me. Like he just barely tried to attack me. In fact, I got a stealth kill on him for the first one, a stealth attack on him for the first time, because he was just turned around and didn't start his fighting.
Which there's a cutscene beforehand where he's like, "Mah!" So that's so weird.
Yeah, I didn't realize this was a boss fight at first, and I was standing outside the room trying to snipe him. Stealth snipe him from outside the room, because I was like, why aren't my bullets working? And then I walked in, it's like, oh, this is a mini boss. Okay, cool.
Well, he also has a he only has he's got a smaller posse than the eye chief had, which I had to do that one like 5 or 6 times because they just kept ganging up on me, even with my friends. So, yeah, this one went way, way better.
But we make our way up to the top, fight on him, fight the Thunderstone, destroy that. Now we are able to actually go into the Uthaka Beacon. I came across a weird thing because I probably spent another hour and a half where I was like, before I go into this, okay, I know for sure this is where this episode is going to end. I'm going to go back to all these towns. And I'm going to collect as much stuff as I can. A weird thing that I ran into is on this area, I'm swimming across and taking my sweet time going across the water. And then bad gill folk start spawning around me and immediately fall in the water. And are like looking at me, but swimming. And then they run out of stamina and die. The gill folk run out of stamina and die in the water.
That's wonderful.
I don't know.
I love it. That's great. I know that's not intended. And that's why I love it. Because it's totally an accident.
Something weird happened there.
that's awful. And I love it.
But yeah, so with that, we can go back to sort of there's a main little area that there is. It looks kind of like a pool that you can dive down straight into. Now, I stood there for a couple seconds when I dove down to be like, what do you want me to do?
Follow the lights.
Like, oh, right. Follow the lights. I'm like, okay. I followed the light that was at the bottom and nothing happened. And I had to look to my right. And this is like, oh, right. There's a series of lights there.
And so I put the camera directly on the ground. And just kept swimming forward, so I didn't just done. I'm like, I'm done looking around underwater now. I'm done with it. After I terrified myself with a poor decision on my part to do what I did. Yeah.
For the listeners, if we were all deep sea fish, Jeremy would be the first person to get eaten by an angler, guaranteed. Just swim toward the light at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm here. Now what? Now you die.
So this is what we're going to wrap up the episode for the next episode. You just got to escape the prison. Which prison? I'll let you figure that out on your own. Go do some more collectibles, find some more things, escape prison, and we'll meet back here and talk about it on Chat of the Wild Guide.